Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a very special event in celebration of NAIDOC and the theme this year, Because of Her We Can. But before we start proceedings, I have got our elder, Jagera elder here from Ipswich, Uncle Rossi Anderson, and Uncle Rossi is going to provide the welcome to country for us. Could you join with me in thanking Uncle Rossi?
Thank you. Welcome. My name's Rossi Anderson. I'm an elder of the Yurrungpul tribe here in Ipswich. There are two tribes, Yurrungpul and Jagera. And it's great to be invited here today for NAIDOC Day, and Because of Her We Can. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Mum. And, you know, it's great, and all you nurses, and of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, and, you know, and you know, it's great to see that we're starting getting in the professional essence of a society, you know, of what goes on. And when you go to the doctors or nurses, you know, it's great to see a Murray face, you know, and they're having a smile and you might know them. And like I met somebody today that I know their families and they know my families from anywhere, from Cunnamulla to wherever. And it's great to be here, and all you ladies and gentlemen, have a good day and welcome to country. Thank you.
Before we commence, there are a number of dignitaries in the room that I would like to acknowledge. Perhaps, I was just thinking a little bit less dignitary than the ones that we're going to honour today. But could I acknowledge that Professor Jenny Kelly is in the room? Jenny is our Head of School of Health Sciences. And I thank you very much, Jen, for being in the room, because I also know that it's orientation week this week. We also have some visitors, Native American visitors, who have come all the way from Montana. So I would like to acknowledge Teresa Brockie and Lynette Clark. And so don't bother asking them whether or not it's cold, because in Montana, the snow sits up to their roof. And I actually thought Lynette was lying when she said the dogs were running around on top of the roof. So, yes, they think it's summer. But our very distinguished guest that we have for us today is Professor Bronwyn Fredericks, who is the Pro Vice Chancellor Indigenous at the University of Queensland, having just been recently appointed to that position, coming from this same title position at Central Queensland University. Now, for those of you who do not know Bronwyn, we are talking formidable Aboriginal woman here. Bronwyn is loved by many. Bronwyn loves many. And we are very grateful that Bronwyn loves us. Bronwyn has been a leader for close on 3 decades now within Indigenous higher education. And it is because of her leadership that we can within the university. So could you join with me and welcome Bronwyn to the stage. Thank you.
Makes me cry with us talk. So good morning. Thank you for the welcome back to Ipswich. I will say that my family have links through Ipswich. My great grandmother was born in the place known today as Rosewood, but my family know it as Victoria and also Scrub Hill. So I have been in this region for generations and then moved to Brisbane, last generation and the one before that. So hence we call ourselves Murrays from southeast Queensland in the Ipswich Brisbane region. I did go to school in year 11 and 12 just down the road at St. Peter Claver at Riverview, and I've got lots of family that live in the Ipswich area, so people that know the Duncans or the Rogers, the Christies, the Hussey Smiths, the Bittners, they're all some of my family. So I attribute this as well to them that I'm formally speaking on this country today. You know, my mother started at 16 wanting to be a nurse, and I don't even know if I've shared that with you, Odette, before, and became pregnant with me and had to leave nursing school, which is one of the stories of nursing. So she reminded me that recently, just in the last week, when I said I was coming out here to do this today. But, you know, there's many that also wanted to be nurses that couldn't be nurses because of the rules of the time. This morning we're celebrating women who beat the rules in a whole range of ways. Throughout history, nursing and nurses have been there at the forefront, whether it's been of times of war, of times of conflict, of times of peace, of times of trekking across new ground. There's been movies made of famous nurses. Nurses have been romanticised, beauticised, as we know they all are. They've also been demonised through some movies in terms of killing people and, you know, being the demon of the crime story. But in all of that, nurses have been forever present. And for a long time, we didn't hear many stories of Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander nurses. We didn't hear your stories of some of the ones that are here today. We didn't hear the stories of those Indigenous nurses from elsewhere as well that were also part of that journey, linking in and being part of the war effort, the peace efforts, the parts of, I know for myself when I've been ill, they see me and they see you at our very vulnerable. They see us at times of absolute crisis, of absolute need, of times when we feel like we're walking dead, but at also times when we rejoice, when we get good news, tears of joy when there's a new baby born. And I know there's midwives here today too. So nurses are there with all that human functioning, all the part of us that is us as human beings, but also part of our contemporary and also past history. And today we're honouring that. Today we're honouring Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses through this event. And it's really special that this is happening. I also remark on the fact that it's held here at University of Southern Queensland. This place, as I remember it, and this is only probably the third time back for me, since it was the Chalmers Centre. And one of my cousins used to live here. And certainly it was the nurses who cared for him day in, day out, as somebody who couldn't see, somebody who couldn't hear, and somebody who couldn't speak, and somebody who couldn't walk. So people like that, like my cousin, Mark Shane, nurses were part of his living, part of his being on this campus, and so it's really fitting that we're close to that too, and that we honour that memory within this space and turn it into a good thing, because I know Chalna wasn't that great for some people. It certainly was for my cousin. I also want to acknowledge the work that's been put into the book Yat Julagen at this point. There are nurses that are in the room that are part of that book. That is also groundbreaking in the same way that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses have been part of that groundbreaking work for a long time. I also think we're yet to see so much more to come. You know, there are hundreds of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses. There certainly was more nurses out there than before we had health workers, and I know health workers are put up here and Aboriginal doctors and Torres Strait doctors are put up here. But before we had all of that, in the Western sense, we had Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses. And in that, I honour you today. And I very much look forward to hearing the stories, you know, over the next hour and a half or so. I know that I couldn't do what I do, and I couldn't have worked in health without all of the wonderful women and men, but predominantly women, Aboriginal women, including nurses, who've been part of that health workforce that I've been part of, and I thank you for that too. So have a great morning and welcome.
Okay, thank you very much, Bronwyn. Before I ask Associate Professor Odette Best to the microphone, can I just say that this event today has been as a result of Odette's research. She's very committed to this. She's very passionate to bringing to the fore the very honourable work that Aboriginal nurses and Torres Strait Islander nurses and midwives have done for our community and much larger within the wider community. And Daddy getting a bit emotional here. Daddy, because of this work, this really critical work, we are not going to forget these women who have done such substantial work in keeping our communities together. And so for that, I honour you, my sister. It's because of your work we can. Can I invite you to the microphone now, please? And please welcome Odette.
Of you who may not know that. I am a cookie allergy woman and a Burri Gubba woman. My mother is Palm Island breed, can I say that? And my father is a Warrabinda man. It's really important that you feel the respect and the love from the community for you amazing people, the women of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander midwifery and nursing community. I humbly thank you. I want to show you in the best way that I can through words that I just thank you and I respect you and I honour you. I've looked up to people like Aunty Gracie Smallwood. I know you're in the room there. I have the pleasure of knowing Dr. Odette Best or Booth. And I know Ali personally. So, and I know I've never shot on inspiration. And I'm never short on inspiration of realising the sort of woman I want to be and the type of leader I want to be as well. So thank you. Because of you, we can. And enjoy NAIDOC.
Thank you, everyone, and welcome. First and foremost, Uncle Rossi, thank you very much for welcome to your country. Means a lot. I'm insanely nervous. Yeah. and I'm really, really going to try not to cry. Should probably grab a tissue first, hey? Yeah, I have. I've got the tissue. It's my privilege and my pleasure to be able to present today the stories of 9 of my friends. And each and every single one of these women are my friends. They have been my elders, my mentors, my peers, and my students. And without them, I wouldn't have done the research that I do. I am a registered nurse myself. I am Kumumbaya Yugumbaya through my father, Wakun Klang Goreng Goreng through my grandmother, and Bontemora through my grandfather. And it's been my privilege for about the last 15 years to be able to collect the stories of amazing Aboriginal and Torres nurses and to get to a stage now where I can actually present my research. So when I heard this theme, this year's theme of NAIDOC, quite honestly, I was beside myself. At last, my research is in vogue. So, I would like to start with presenting just some really brief 2 or 3 minute snapshots of a pack of my mates, basically. So, here we go. Oh, Oh, there we go. All right. Because of Her We Can, obviously, is the theme of NAIDOC this year. It is in recognition of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women nationally. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women have smashed every ceiling when it comes to the professions that we now participate in. However, the first Western profession that I believe that we were able to go in was actually nursing and midwifery. So it is nursing and midwifery that I'm wanting to focus on today. I would like to begin with Aunty Isabel Ferguson. Aunty Isabel Ferguson is the daughter of Wiradjuri parents, with her father being William Ferguson. He is the father of NAIDOC. He also launched the Aboriginal Progressives Association movement at Dubbo, and he opened branches right throughout New South Wales in the 1930s. Aunty Isabel in 1943 applied for her nurse's training and was accepted into the Royal Princess Alexandra Hospital for Children in Sydney. Aunty Isabel commenced her program in 1944, and it was a four-year program. Aunty Isabel went on to work in hospitals across Sydney and was instrumental in the 1967 referendum. She became active in the Sydney chapter of the APA, of which her father was instrumental in establishing. Aunty Isabel, whilst working at Royal Prince Alfred on her days off, would speak to non-Indigenous people about the need for the 67 referendum on Aboriginal recognition. She would collect signatures, host meetings in her small flat, make numerous cups of tea, and of course, nurse her community. Aunty Isabel tells the story of these days and talks about when a certain kerfuffle, her word, not mine, occurred in Pitt Street in Sydney, and her photo ended up on the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald. The following day, going to work at RPA, matron came into the tea room and asked Sister Ferguson how her days off were. Sister Ferguson turned around and said, "Yes, good, thank you, matron." The matron quietly put the paper down in front of Aunty Isabel and said, "Well done," winked at her, and walked away with a small smile. Aunty Isabel went on to become a matron after buying a nursing home in the 1970s in Caloundra, Queensland, and it was here that she retired from nursing. Aunty Isabel is often identified as the daughter of an activist. However, I like to say that Aunty Isabel is the activist of a daughter. The photo here is taken in 1948, where it was tradition on graduation for all students to be thrown into the nurse's pond, of which Aunty Isabel was. Aunty Isabel nursed for some 40 years. I know, amazing, hey? Yeah, not really. Aunty Isabel is now 92. She couldn't travel here today. She had a fall about a month ago. So this afternoon, there's a few of the comrades that will be going down to the Gold Coast to have a nice, quiet afternoon cup of tea with Aunty Isabel. Aunty Maureen. I'm going to try not to cry with this one. Aunty Maureen is a descendant of the Kuma and the Yurraluwai nations, and was born at Dirranbandi on her mother's country. Aunty Maureen's grandmother was a traditional midwife who encouraged Maureen as a child to do her nursing and would tell her often that she had healing hands. As a small child, Aunty Maureen received a little nurse's uniform with a cape, and this sealed it for her. She became a little obsessed about the cape and the uniform. At 16, Aunty Maureen had finished school but was still too young to enter nursing, so she moved to Brisbane to undertake her mothercraft course before being accepted into the Royal Brisbane Hospital. Aunty Maureen, whilst commencing at the Royal in Brisbane, transferred to Cairns Base Hospital and was in the graduating class of 1956. At the Royal Brisbane, where there were no other Aboriginal or Torres nurses, Aunty Maureen found some, such as Aunty Dulcie Reading at that time, yep, Aunty Lewis Priest, and also she met the Aboriginal matron of Yarrabah Mission, Muriel Stanley. This was the 50s. Aboriginal matrons were absolutely unheard of. Aunty Maureen worked for decades as a registered nurse in diverse settings such as Sydney, Dalby, Dirranbandi, Cairns and Mareeba. Aunty Maureen's specialty was as a highly skilled theatre nurse. Aunty Maughan's last job before she hung up her cape was at Wuchopperen, the Aboriginal and Islander Medical Services in Cairns. She wanted to finish in a job where she was with her mob and doing what she loved, looking after her people. I interviewed Aunty Maughan for my PhD as my Miss 1950, and the words that Aunty Maughan left me with were, "Odette, if there is such a thing as reincarnation, I am coming back as an Aboriginal nurse." Aunty Maughan nursed for over 40 years and taught me, personally, the pride in being a nurse. Beautiful photos, hey? Beryl Micklejohn, look how short that uniform is, for starters. It was the 60s, I know. Beryl Micklejohn is a Noonuccal descendant of the Condamooka Nation, Moreton Bay, from Minjerribah, North Stradbroke Island. Beryl was the first of three cousins that went into nursing within very close proximity of each other. Mary Martin, who is also here today, and cousin Rosemary, who also trained just down the road here at Ipswich Hospital. Beryl, for my PhD, was known as my Miss 1960s. Growing up, Beryl had told me that she went to a school where they had rebel teachers. The high school was called the Rebel School, or the Red School, by Joe Bielke-Peterson. So she grew up in a time of change, and she always considered herself a unionist. And this is shown throughout her career. Beryl entered the Royal Brisbane Hospital in the late 60s. At this stage, the Royal did have an Aboriginal sister there, Sister Watergo, who was known to be tough but good. In her first job on graduating as a registered nurse, Beryl worked at Montrose Home for Disabled Children. Beryl's words were this: "I must have been doing something right, though, as I was asked to step in and act as the matron for 3 months while matron went on leave. One of the first things I dealt with was changing the uniform. I just didn't understand having to wear white uniforms. It was so impractical, especially nursing kids. So the matron went on leave and the manager and I got together and we changed the uniforms. We decided we needed colour and practicality. And so we did. We decided lilac tops with purple flared slacks. Now remember, this is the 70s. And plus, I thought I looked good in purple," she said. When the matron got back, she nearly had a heart attack because of a couple of things happened. In her absence, I was also gunning for penalty rates to be brought in. And she was successful in doing that. We did all this in 3 months. When I think about it, I probably wasn't the best matron. Soon after, Beryl went on to undertake her registered psychiatric training just down the road here at Wollaston Park in the mid-70s. Beryl worked for decades within Aboriginal health, both at a community-controlled level and also within Queensland Health. She eventually went on to work as a senior lecturer within the Faculty of Health at Queensland University of Technology. She has nurtured and supported university-trained Indigenous nurses for years there. Beryl Micklejohn. I know, I'm shocked at how short the uniform was. Anyway. Oh. Yeah. Here we go. I try not to cry with this one either. Mary is the first cousin of Beryl. She is a Noonuccal descendant of the Condamooka Nation, Moreton Bay, from Minjerribah, what we call North Stradbroke Island today. Mary was my Miss 1970s for my PhD. Growing up, Mary had no great desire to be a nurse, but in January 1971, Mary entered her general nurse certificate training at the Brisbane Mater Hospital. As with all nurses, this time had its ups and downs, but it saw some significant changes in nursing, such as men being readily accepted. Near completion, Mary was tapped on the shoulder and asked to work in the nursery at the Mater on completion of her training, and she did, and she loved it. However, something occurred within the mid-70s. that would see Mary work within the arena of Indigenous health and continue to work within the arena of Indigenous health for over 40 years now. Of this time, Mary has said, "My career in Aboriginal health started when I was enticed by a cousin into working at the local Brisbane Aboriginal and Islander Community Controlled Health Service. It was the first time that Mary also worked with a collective of Aboriginal nurses, such as her cousins, and also people like Aunty Pam Mam. Mary's focus has always been on planning and delivering healthcare services. Sorry. That are not only of exceptional quality, but also relevant, responsive, accessible and respectful of our people's needs and cultures. Mary is the recipient of numerous awards, and in fact, there are too many to list. However, I have just chosen two. Some of those highlighted awards are the Southeast Queensland NAIDOC Distinguished Service Award of 2003, and in 2006, she was awarded with the honorary membership of the Royal Australian College of General Practice, a title which has never been awarded to an Aboriginal person who is not a GP. Mary was the first Aboriginal that I actually had the privilege to work with in 1993 when I started at the Brisbane Aboriginal Medical Service as a young and very green registered nurse coming from Princess Alexandra Hospital. She to this day remains my mentor. Mary. Oh, I know. The adorable Janet Blair. Janet is a butler woman and was raised in Rockhampton, Central Queensland. Janet commenced her training at Rockhampton Base Hospital in January of 1984. And Janet has very vivid memories of her first days. She was also my Miss 1980s participant for my PhD. Of her first day when I was interviewing Janet, she had this to say. We were called PNCs back then, preliminary nursing course, and we ended up walking down the hill together to our first days of lectures. I remember feeling excited and overwhelmed. There were about 31 of us and one bloke called Tom. The end of the first day, I felt really good. It was a funny sort of feeling. I actually felt that I'd really made the right decision to become a nurse. Funnily enough, all groups in those days were colour-coded, and our group was the black group. We were known as the black group, and I think everyone was thinking, shit, I hope that they didn't think that that was directed at her. Because there was the purple group, the gold group, the silver group, and so on. But yep, 1984 was the black group, and I was the only Aboriginal student. Janet was a traveller and nursed in diverse settings and countries around the world. She has nursed in Los Angeles, Saudi. She's also nursed in communities like Thursday Island, Mount Isa, Mackay, Rockhampton, and has worked within our Aboriginal medical services for many years. Janet went on to undertake her midwifery training at Redcliffe Hospital, and she clearly told me it just made sense. Janet said of this, and I quote, that it was the second last group of hospital-trained midwives and they had 1,000 applicants for 12 positions. But, you know, when I went to my midwifery training, I actually felt so completely peaceful with women in labour. It didn't frighten me. This is now somewhat 30 years and Janet has caught hundreds and hundreds of babies. For women in our community, it has been an absolute gift and a privilege to have had their children caught by the hands of Sister Blair, Janet Blair. Where's Ray? Raylene Ward is a Kunya descent through her mother's bloodline and is a Kamilaroi descent through her father's bloodline. She is currently a senior lecturer here at the University of Southern Queensland School of Nursing and Midwifery. Raylene was my Miss 1990s of my PhD. Ray began her nursing journey at Gundawindi Hospital, undertaking her enrolled nurses training program. But that was not enough. She came to Toowoomba and enrolled after being enrolled at ACU for a time, found it didn't suit her, so decided to come up to Toowoomba and enrol with us. This qualification supported Raylene as she journeyed on to become a registered nurse, as she continued to work as an enrolled nurse for a time. She did graduate from University of Southern Queensland in 1996. Raylene worked clinically with the Aboriginal Medical Services both in Toowoomba and in Dalby. Her love of working with her community has never waned and is held in such high regard. Raylene went on to do further study at USQ and enrolled in a Master of Research and commenced her research in Aboriginal suicide. This work was nationally commended for its insight and its depth and its understanding the issues that impact upon our Aboriginal communities today.
Yeah, well done, Ray.
Raylene went on, but that's not enough. Raylene went on to undertake a PhD, and we are just literally waiting for her confirmment now. And did further research for her PhD on suicide. She is the national nursing leader of suicide in our Aboriginal communities. She's also my peer and my friend, and keeps me here. Now, this one I'm really going to try not to cry. Yeah. Anne-Marie, Annie, is a Waka Waka descendant through her mother's country and bloodline. Anne-Marie was not born on country, but in Sydney. Her mother has close affiliations and ties with her nation and is currently residing back on country in Cherbourg. I interviewed Anne-Marie as my Miss 2000s for my PhD, and I first met Anne-Marie in 2000 as a shy young woman who was undertaking her tertiary preparatory program here at the University of Southern Queensland. I taught Anne-Marie her English component, probably not the best thing to have done. At the time of completion, I asked Anne-Marie what she would like to do, and in an ever so quiet voice, without looking at me, she said that she wanted to become a nurse, and that's all I needed to hear. Within minutes, I had Anne-Marie whipped over to the School of Nursing. We were filling out paperwork and setting her on her journey. After Anne-Marie finished her Bachelor of Nursing, with a GPA of about 6.5, I might add, she actually didn't think that it was a very high GPA because she thought it was out of 10. I know, didn't quite realise it was only out of 7. Anne-Marie went on further to do a Master of Mental Health and became an endorsed mental health nurse. After that, myself and Professor Don Gorman had the privilege and the pleasure to be able to supervise her for her Master's Honours. Throughout this entire time, I would tell Anne-Marie that she was just too smart and had to think of doing something else other than nursing. No, Odette, I can't do that. No, Odette, I can't do that, is what I heard for many, many years. Anne-Marie did enrol in a PhD here at USQ, but after about 6 months, she withdrew. Anne-Marie worked for about 8 years as a clinical nurse in a number of Aboriginal medical services in Toowoomba and also out at Dalby, and also worked at Bailey Henderson Hospital. After that time, Anne-Marie went and followed her dream and went and did medicine. She is now a second year resident doctor at Toowoomba Base Hospital in paediatric health. It has been my absolute joy to watch Anne-Marie over the last 18 years. After I left USQ, I then went and worked at Queensland University of Technology, where I met the amazing Kyrus Reese. Kyrus Reese is a proud Torres Strait Islander woman from Bardu Island. I was immediately struck by how confident, tenacious, and sassy she was. I first met Kyrus in 2011. Kyrus is one of a number of Indigenous students there, and she stood out amongst her peers, and it was clear that she needed to be a nurse. She was ever so resilient and ever so tenacious. This was demonstrated in Kiris wanting to undertake her final clinical placement on Thursday Island. She wanted to go home. She wanted to be with her people. She wanted to look after her people. And we had an uphill battle to make that happen. But with the assistance of Dr. Leonie Cox, primarily, and a little bit of myself, we got Kiris up to undertake her final placement on Thursday Island. On completion in 2013 at QUT with her nursing, Kiris was successful in gaining a highly competitive postgraduate program at Royal Brisbane Hospital, where she works in accident and emergency still to this day. However, in 2015, Kiris came to USQ and undertook a postgraduate certificate of advanced nursing practice in rural and remote nursing. She has got her RIPEN endorsement. Kiris continues to pursue her dreams and the qualifications needed to work within Torres Health. Kiris, I honour you. That is essentially my PhD there. I have two other special women that I'm wanting to briefly present to you. Gratian Smallwood is a Birriggubba, Kalkadoo and South Sea Island woman born in Townsville. She was the daughter of an activist and the granddaughter of activists. And she undertook her general training at Townsville Base Hospital in 1967 to 1971. Shortly after that, she undertook her midwifery at Townsville Base Hospital. Old terms, double certificate girl. Gracelyn's passion and life's work has been advocating against the racism and the violation of human rights against Aboriginal people for the past 45 years. Gracelyn's nursing career has been so wide and so diverse, we do not have the time. But there are a number of highlights that I would like to speak of. She has participated in the Barefoot Doctors Scheme in Mongolia and China and undertook traditional birthing practices with Mongolian women. She was monumental in heading up the fight for HIV and AIDS amongst our communities Australia-wide and is actually the developer of Condo Man. I know. Who would have thought? She has travelled to such places as Libya and South Africa and has never been shy to talk about the passion for her people, the fight for her people, the resilience for her people, and it's all demonstrated in herself. Gracelyn went on to undertake a master's program in public health and also a PhD in human rights and First Australians wellbeing. And Gracelyn has said, I have dealt with almost every disease, both nationally and also internationally. However, I have never been able to come to terms with the ugly disease of racism. Her accolades are too many to number, but in 1986, Gracelyn was awarded Queenslander of the Year for her advocacy in health and human rights. She was the recipient of the Order of Australia in 1992 for her contribution to Aboriginal health. And in 2013, she was NAIDOC Female Elder of the Year. I introduce to you Gracelyn Smallwood, Matron. I have left royalty until last. Don't get mad at me, Annie Dulcie. I would like to introduce Annie Dulcie. Annie Dulcie Flower is from Darnley Island in the Torres Straits and undertook her general training at Cairns Base Hospital from 1956 to 1960. Annie Dulcie was one of the Indigenous nurses that Annie Mourne had referred to being at Cairns Base Hospital. At dinner last night, it was quite funny. A few of us caught up for dinner. And Annie Mourne is considered Annie Dulcie's senior nurse. Being hospital trained, all of us who were hospital trained understand that very hierarchical role that there is. They have not seen each other for a very, very, very long time, these two. And Aunty Dulcie turned around to me and said, Aunty Maughan was my senior nurse and she was very bossy. And then we had dinner. On completion, Aunty Dulcie was keen to do midwifery, so she applied and was accepted at St Margaret's Hospital in 1961 in Sydney, where she completed her mid. Aunty Dulcie never left Sydney. It was during this time that she met a young Isabel Ferguson and they became fast friends. Aunty Dulcie was keen to support the Aborigines Progressive Association and was tireless in her work of talking to non-Indigenous people about the need for the 1967 referendum. Aunty Dulcie would become the first Indigenous woman secretary of FACATSI, which is the Federal Council for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander People. Aunty Dulcie was also instrumental in establishing community-controlled health services and was our very first Indigenous nurse to work at an Aboriginal medical service in Australia. She was responsible for opening the doors on the very first night of Redfern AMS with a young and a radical doctor that a few of you may know, Dr. Fred Hollows. This was in 1971. To this day, Aunty Dulcie is still on the board of Redfern Aboriginal Medical Service. Yeah. She has been, again, awarded too many awards to actually rattle all of them off. However, she has been a recipient of the Order of Australian Medal for her contribution to Aboriginal health. Aunty Dulcie, for decades now, has been responsible for teaching, supporting and nurturing generations of Aboriginal people and our pursuits of education. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to present to you a collective of 9 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander nurses and midwives. Thank you.